the essential podcast for educators in the UK. Made by teachers, for teachers.
Okay, welcome to the first Homework Magazine podcast with me, Ben King.
I'm David Keat.
And myself, Sam Stewart.
So today we are discussing the role of male primary school teachers and how men are represented in the primary setting, how they are treated, whether there's differences between men and women, and why that might be. So, lads, your experiences, how did you both get into teaching?
I think before we get going on the meaty stuff, what I think is important to mention is Sam and I actually work at the same school. We both work at a school in Surrey, and I think when I first joined this school, I was quite surprised by quite how many men were working in this school. I think when I looked to move into teaching, I had a strong view that it was going to be a job where there were very few male colleagues, but I've sort of found myself in quite a unique position perhaps, where I work with with more male colleagues than perhaps other primary school teachers.
No, I think David's completely right. We work in a little community actually where there's probably a far greater proportion of male teachers than there is nationally in other schools. I think when David arrived, for example, I was one of, I think, three currently male teaching members of staff in the school. There's now four. Last year there was five. I think it's growing. But I know from my own experience as a child, I certainly was in a primary school with no men whatsoever. Mm-hmm. From the top down, it was females all the way. So no, the change is happening, I think.
Yeah. I mean, so it's 85% of primary school teachers are female. And if so, that means that if there are 9 full-time teachers in a school, then you're unlikely to have a male member of teaching staff.
Yeah.
And I think that, yeah, those stats are changing. I mean, when I did my PGCE, there were 75 of us on the course. 6 of those were blokes, I think. I think only half of them are still in education. Of that, I think there's only 2 of us in education in the UK. So why is that? Why do we think? I mean, what are the hurdles? What are the barriers? I think we're quite rare to have 3 guys that are all of a similar age in a similar area, primary school teaching, that have experienced working with other male colleagues. I mean, I've always had, every school I've worked at, there's been at least 1 other male teacher, but I also know that that isn't the norm. I've got lots of friends who work in female-only schools. So what is the reason for that? And is it a problem, I guess? I mean, we're talking about it like it's a big issue, but is it? What do we think? Is it a problem? What are the...
From my perspective, I think I haven't closely studied trends as to whether there's an increase or decrease in the last year or two of primary school teachers being male. My vibe, my instinct is that as time goes on, there will be an increasing number of male primary school teachers. I think as somebody who has worked in the private sector, I've worked in quite a few different industries where job security is poor, where there's a huge turnover and difficulty sustaining a position. And I think one thing that teaching can offer, which other jobs haven't, is that sort of job stability, pension and whatnot. I think going forward, routes into teaching are improving. There's many access routes which didn't exist 10, 15 years ago, allowing people that opportunity to consider a career that I personally didn't consider at all years ago. And I think the perception of what a primary school teacher is, looks like, the profile they have, I think that is slowly changing as well, which might, teamed with those new routes in, allow more males in primary. I think my view of a primary school teacher now, when I was growing up, or even 4 or 5 years ago before I went into it, would certainly not look or act or be like any of us. So I think over time...
You mean they weren't all cool, young and good looking?
No.
Still aren't now.
Still aren't now.
Overweight men with thinning
hair. But it's a good point though. Like you mentioned like job stability. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but like certainly when the recession hit, and loads of industries were laying people off, I think that for a lot of people, I mean, it certainly occurred to me that it was a stable job.
I think you're right. I think in our sector, there will, touch wood, there'll always be jobs. There's always children that need educating. There's always roles that need to be filled. And I think certainly there probably once was a stigma towards male primary school teachers. Why do men want to work in primary schools?
Yeah.
I don't know. But for me, I always envisaged myself being a secondary school PE teacher. Yeah. That was where I thought my...
And that's the general, a lot of players think that.
It's where people end up. And I think I ended up working the school I'm at now as a sports coach, in my head as a stepping stone towards doing PGCE and PE for secondary, and sort of fell in love with the role. working with children of a primary age, and I didn't expect that to really happen, but it happened organically when I was there. And I think actually now in hindsight it was the best decision I could have made. But I think men, when you touch on the point about why is it though still the statistics are very much in the sort of favour of female primary school teachers, I certainly think that, for example, when David joined our school, he would have seen that there were men there, and that would have been a factor in terms of why he would want to work with us. I know a friend who works in the school, he is the only man.
Yeah.
There is no other male, from caretaker to head teacher to class teachers. He's the only one, and he has sort of verbalised to me that he finds that difficult.
Yeah, of course.
Because just having that dialogue, even if it's just after school, just having a chat about the day, or it can be completely something unrelated to your job, but you can just be on the like-minded wavelength. It helps, and it makes you feel, I think, just as a stability thing, like you've got mates around you.
Yeah. And it's, I mean, there's a couple, I think you make a couple of really interesting points there. I mean, firstly, there is still, and it's something I know that sort of I touched on in the article that I wrote about it, and certainly the response that I got on Twitter was there is still, in some sectors of society, an inherent distrust of men that choose to work with young children.
I can
even
see that,
even more men that choose to work with very young children. And there is still social barriers, I think, that are absolutely affecting men's decisions whether to go in secondary and to go into subjects that are perhaps still society perceives as male subjects, engineering, PE, etc. If you're a young lad of 13, 14, you are going to get banter, stick, whatever you want to call it, from your friends if you verbalise that you want to work with 6 or 7 year olds.
I wouldn't have dreamt of it as a kid. Yeah, I really... it was something I certainly wouldn't have considered growing up. I had friends who, at my school, did want to become teachers. I don't know anyone that wanted to become a primary school teacher when I was growing up.
And absolutely.
I think beyond beyond getting comments about it at that age, I remember when I... So I've been teaching 2 years. I'm into my second year now, trained 3 years ago. I remember when I told my parents I was looking to go into teaching. My wife was doing teacher training. She was doing primary school teaching. And I remember sitting down with my parents and having a real good chat. I was earning a few quid and had a pretty stable job at the time. And I remember having a chat with them thinking, look, I've had some work experience in a primary school. I've coached some kids of primary school age and I absolutely love it. And I remember them having a chat with me, and they, you know, my parents are hugely supportive of anything I want, but I remember them saying to me, oh, would you do that and then become a secondary school teacher? Or why not secondary school? And I think on top of that, there's also a sort of idea, I believe, that primary school teaching is almost a bit of a cop-out. Yeah, it's easy, a bit easier. Yeah. You don't have to be as intelligent. You know, and I guess your deep subject knowledge maybe isn't quite as thorough as being a secondary school teacher. But I think there's so much great stuff that people miss without experiencing it. And I wish people were perhaps given an opportunity to see that and get a taste for it before their mind had been made up as to what path they wanted to follow at university or after.
I
was just going to say, it's a 60-40 split in secondary. So in secondary, you've got 60% women, 40% males. But I do agree with you. I think that, and this is no discredit to secondary schools or secondary school teachers, but I do think there is a perception, there's even a perception that the higher up you get in primary schools, the better the teacher you are, or the more difficult the teaching is.
Yeah.
So I recall someone saying that their parents had congratulated them on a promotion because they'd gone from year three to year five.
Wow.
And I feel, what does this mean for our poor nursery school teachers? You touched on, and this is something that I think is really interesting, about how you can have, it's nice to have the support perhaps, or the social group perhaps, within a school as well. So, I mean, obviously, we're not for a minute suggesting that men and women have to be interested in certain things. That's not what we're kind of talking about. But there is similarities in kind of outlooks. There is perhaps similarities in kind of pastimes. Every school I've worked in, out of the half a dozen, there were men in those schools that were also hugely into football. There were also women in those schools on occasion that were hugely into football, or that were spending their social time in the same way that I was. But I feel it can be isolating to not have other blokes in your teaching sector.
No, I definitely agree. I think, so for David and the other males that I've worked alongside in the last couple of years, we have really gelled together as a unit, and that's not necessarily to the exclusion of the women we're working with. And actually, certainly when we've got together, we have been with the female teachers too, and I think we've had groups of friends come and go as people have left, but we've always been very obviously into our football. We chat about that all the time, sport in general, not with David but with another male teacher, we go to the gym together. And I think just that social side of it when you are stressed about your job and there are daily stresses and things that do concern us and make us feel like we're doing a really bad job, but and everyone feels the same, but you can rely on each other to actually, do you know what Sam, do you know what David, do you know what Ben, like actually you're doing a cracking job, like look at the children in your class and we can relate because we actually probably don't feel like sort of in the microcosm of our school it might be different, but in teaching, if you're a primary school male teacher, you are different.
Yes, you are.
It's a bit weird.
Yeah. And actually, you only have to look at conferences.
Absolutely. We want to change that stereotype, and I think it is changing. But I think for me, the best thing, and I think I've noticed more recently in the last couple of years, is the parents are really happy that their children are being taught by a male. And I think the different perspective they get, particularly if they've had a female from reception through to, for example, year four, and now they're with me in year five for the first time with a man, actually, that's a wonderful thing.
Yeah.
And teaches them so many different aspects of sort of life, and the way that we speak to children is very different in terms of
aspirations for themselves. Is that we're breaking those social boundaries of certain jobs are viewed in certain ways. Like there's a million children growing up without fathers at home now. Yeah. Like there is an aspect to it, and we're not for a minute suggesting that we're replacement dads.
No.
But there is an aspect that for some of these kids, they haven't. It is far more likely that they've grown up without a positive male figure in the household than a positive female figure in the household. So that is an extra thing that we provide.
Yeah, I think spinning on what Sam's saying, slightly digressing. I think when you've got when we talk about the difficulties of teaching, people dropping out of teaching, people perhaps having mental health issues to do with the stresses and anxieties they have within teaching, I think there's so much good that can come out of sharing, as Sam says, sharing your troubles, sharing any difficulties you've had that day, asking questions, approaching colleagues. And I think when you've got people in the building who you fully trust, who you click very, very well with, who you can be open and honest with, it really does alleviate a lot of those difficulties. I often don't understand something in a staff meeting. I'd go and instantly be able to WhatsApp Sam, Josh, you know, friends from school. We'd be able to chat, you know, we'd go and watch the football, have a little chat. Oh, I'm teaching this next week. Oh, what do you think you'd do? It becomes so natural and organic. And I'm not saying that only has to happen amongst men. Absolutely not. But I think the fact that you can find people that you genuinely click and gel with, it allows your teaching life to become... not so all-encompassing, and it becomes a lot more it just makes the day at work a lot more enjoyable and a lot more sociable.
And we don't like, by no means is this what I actually think is more the issue, is that for a lot of women, and that's not all women, but for a lot of women, they naturally gravitate to other women. When there's, if you go into a staff room and there's a group of girls already chatting, my experience is that girls are more likely to then go and join in with that conversation. Now, that's not to say that they don't have male friends or that you don't get on, etc., etc., but there is just a natural difference in my experience in a staff room where perhaps the only other person, only other male figure in the school is the caretaker and the head teacher. And suddenly, especially if you're new, it can feel very... It can be quite lonely, I think, because they also... Because, let's be fair, let's take this back to what we were discussing earlier. The issues that surround men in primary schools, the asking them to do heavy lifting, this isn't my experience, but I have been talked to about being asked to deal with difficult parents because they're a man, being given difficult children because men are deemed as more strict. These are stereotypes that we would not support, or that society is starting to break down in other industries. So we have groups like Women's Ed, which do a fantastic job to promote women into or to promote the idea of women taking on leadership positions. However, there isn't anything statistically to support that men are the most under... Or men are hugely underrepresented in the primary school teaching sector. There's no group to support that. Now, I think that's largely because it's felt that men obviously already are seen to have multiple advantages in lots of other industries, which obviously they do. We are statistically, even as leaders, even as primary school leaders, we are disproportionately represented.
Absolutely.
But I do feel that there is... It's hard for someone that it's hard for a woman to empathise with some of the suspicions, some of the attitudes towards men in primary schools, the comments that I've had in pubs before.
Oh yeah.
And fortunately, not everybody has to experience those.
No.
And I think that that's perhaps more where I'm coming from in terms of someone to really empathise with how it feels. And to be hugely outnumbered in an industry, it is very different. And I mean, we haven't even touched on, and perhaps it's a conversation another day, but something like ethnic minorities in schools.
Mm.
Like growing up, even at secondary school, I didn't have a single non-white teacher. And that's another issue, that what is happening there. How are we showing our children that they can be, or that nothing is off limits to them? Because I'll be honest, I think in our education system we are promoting removing barriers for girls far more than we're promoting removing barriers for boys. Maybe because that's 100%, far less barriers.
100%.
Maybe because there are far less barriers. But for example, gymnastics and modelling and industries that have traditionally been seen as female orientated jobs, nursing, I don't see huge steps being taken to show boys that those are realistic careers for them, in the same way that we're going out of our way to show that engineering, sports, etc., are realistic opportunities for girls. So maybe this is just intrinsic of a society at the moment that is geared towards addressing what has long been, obviously we're all agreeing, has long been holding women back far more than holding men back.
Mm. I think so. I think there obviously historically has been an issue with an imbalance between the sort of things that have been put in place that men can achieve and women can achieve. It's been very, very different. And I think now, you're right, I think with campaigns like This Girl Can, which are wonderful things and really are having a positive impact, and girls are feeling inspired, but does that come at a detriment to the boys?
Mm-hmm.
And do we actually put a bit of a ceiling on the boys in terms of what they can achieve and what they can become in life? Because at the moment, it's quite on trend to support the female side of things. I think we are three primary school male teachers, and as we've already mentioned, we are outnumbered. Actually, this is a great job. Mm-hmm. It's a fantastic job for men to have and for women to have, and it needs both, because children need to experience the leadership, the guidance of both genders, I personally think, to mould the children into becoming what we want them to be, and that's really good citizens. Mm-hmm. But I think at the moment, you're right, it could just be in 2018, the time is that we're gearing it towards women, but 2020, 2025, it could spin on its head. We could see a reverse. I don't know, but
I think it takes a long time for society to change its views, doesn't it? And I think it takes there is still, and perhaps it's with an older generation, but there is still an assumption that when you tell people I'm a teacher, as a guy, they tend to assume you mean secondary.
Yeah.
There can on occasion almost be a slightly pitying look when you say that you're a male.
Oh, yeah, I can see that.
And that's, as you say, that's madness. I would never want to do anything else.
No.
And why is it then that the majority of men try and push their way to the top as soon as possible? So
for me, financial.
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah. Without coining the phrase like alpha male, I do think you'll perhaps have male primary school teachers who perhaps see themselves as innate leaders, people who have perhaps grown up playing in sports teams where they've taken on leadership roles, people who have perhaps previously been involved in sort of leadership capacities in projects at school. I think there's, I'm not saying that men do that more than women by any stretch, but I do think the men in primary may disproportionately have that. Financially, I think, is the big one, though. I think we talk about it's again a very historical view, the male being seen as a breadwinner in the family, having to supply the bulk of the family income.
Well, that is still the case.
It is still the case, and I think for that reason, I think financially, climbing the ladder within a school is going to reap those financial benefits. I think it's going to allow you to support or allow male primary school teachers to support their families better, perhaps allow their spouse to have more time at home with the child. Mm. I think it will allow that, as it would with most industries, but I think that's perhaps why the figures are disproportionate when it comes to men in leadership roles within primary.
So what, I mean, we're kind of avoiding something that I know perhaps listeners are thinking, and something a colleague said to me this week. So as much as we've all got into this job, perhaps for stability, and we love the job and we enjoy it, is there an element of positive discrimination? Is there an element that someone said to me, oh, well, it's going to be easier because you're a bloke? Now, let's be frank, let's be honest, it must cross the minds of senior leaders when they're looking at CVs, because most schools want a mixture of staff. Mm-hmm. So there is, like, it would be ignorant or obtuse of us to not acknowledge that there are, that we perhaps do get a slight step up because of that fact. Is that some, I mean, we do that with in other industries for women. Yeah. Is that something that we should be combating against? Is it something you think we should support?
I think just an instinct for me, there's two factors that would perhaps enable that push to leadership. I think one, if you've got a, as you say, a female heavy leadership team, mm-hmm. I think the, let's not say the novelty factor, but the fact that there may well be a need to balance things slightly
factor,
and increase diversity by putting or having a male as part of that leadership team. Second thing, I think, spins to what we were talking about earlier with having people with common interests, perhaps common visions, and just perhaps clicking. I think perhaps if you do have a male head teacher or men within that leadership team, perhaps there is the ability through being part of the gender minority in a school that you have perhaps clicked well with the people in that leadership team. Perhaps you've got a male deputy head and you're a young male member of staff, and through being within that minority in the school, perhaps you've built a bond with that male deputy head. Perhaps you're able to share ideas in a way that you may not have been if you hadn't had such a close link.
But would you,
perhaps it helps
but would you want to get a job without being the best candidate?
It's an interesting argument. I think
surely, because if you're a parent, surely you want the best person, rather than even if you're a parent with perhaps who doesn't have a positive male figure in the home.
Yeah.
Would you not want the best teacher, regardless of whether they're male or female, for your kids? Sam, would you?
I think, of course. I think when an SLT are looking at candidates for a job, I think first and foremost they're obviously looking for the best teacher. That's what they want in their school. If that best teacher could be a man,
yeah,
I think arguably they might trump for that choice.
Yeah.
Because David's right, you're right. I think you want equality in your school, and you do want to be a school that has a mixture of male and female teachers. I think though, if as men, as we clearly have, hopefully we've backed ourselves in an interview we've had and we've performed well and we've obviously loving the schools right now. If we were shockingly awful in those interviews, I'd hope the school wouldn't have employed us.
Yeah.
Because first and foremost, we want the children in our schools to achieve, and if a female can inspire them to do that far better than we could have done, they rightly should have got the job.
Yes, completely. Yeah.
And I think you could be right, positive discrimination could be happening, and certainly I think it does in some areas.
But I don't, I don't think you'd meet a guy who I mean, it is, and I'm sure that women have been putting up with this for a long time, and none of us have sat here wanting to patronise or condescend anyone. But one of the most uncomfortable things you can hear from someone is, "Oh, you only got the job because you're a bloke."
Yeah, and I can feel that happening.
That's been said to me, or it's much easier to meet for you because you're a bloke, or you'll be a head teacher in no time because you're a bloke. Forget about the fact that you might work your backside off, or forget about the fact that you might actually just happen to be a really good teacher.
Yeah. Like, God forbid.
There is that inherent, and I can imagine that for women in engineering or building or anything like that, they must get exactly the same thing.
Definitely.
Like they might, and it is really kind of demoralising when you think, well, actually, I'm very good at this, and you're negating how good or the effort that I'm putting in.
That argument is always going to exist though across any profession. I mean, it's happened in South African sport for years, since the apartheid, since they've introduced quotas. You've got cricketers who, in my mind, are there on merit several times, and you look at them and there's people questioning that. Are they just playing because of the colour of their skin, because they've got a certain ethnic makeup? We have that in different industries, as you say. There's certainly a push to get females involved in more sort of STEM subjects, STEM industries. Mm-hmm. And there will be questions, but we have to hope that the recruitment process is thorough and strong enough, and perhaps at times there will be similar levelled candidates who maybe do get a slight push at final stage because of their gender or because of their ethnicity, and that might lead to questions about it. But I think if you're going to impart change, if you're going to change the way certain professions look, the way they're viewed, I think is par for the course. And I think as men, we are going to probably, and unfortunately I guess, put up with that to an extent. I think people are going to be slightly sceptical.
And we should be realistic that it's one of the few industries that we're having to suffer, commas, that kind of comment. Yeah.
It's rare, if you think about all the other sectors of work in our country and industry, we are definitely in a situation where it's unique.
Mm-hmm.
But just from a story this week that I've can now think about quite clearly is I've got a, in my class this year, I've got a trainee teacher that I'm working alongside, and she had a coach come in to do a bit of coaching with her. But just before they met, he had a chat to me. And I mean, I'm only in my sort of third year of teaching, four if you want to be my trainee year. I'm very, very inexperienced. But he was saying, surely for you next is almost like deputy headship somewhere else. And in my head, when he said it, it's very flattering. You feel really good about yourself. Yeah. And then you think to yourself, why is he saying it? He's only met me a couple of times before. Mm-hmm. He's never actually seen me teach. Mm. His assumption is, because I'm quite a confident guy, I'm clearly mentoring this year, mm-hmm. someone believes in me, he's thinking I should be rising to the top straight away. And would he be saying that to a female?
Yeah, I mean, I had a similar conversation when I taught in the Middle East for a couple of years, came back and was supply teaching for a while. And I had the head teacher of the school I was in at the time said to me, oh, so you'll be sort of looking at potentially sort of deputy head positions, won't you? And I mean, I'd just been out of the country for 2 years. I was on a temporary contract at her school. And it was almost one of those moments that I felt like I was talking to somebody that didn't understand education. And I mean that with the utmost respect, but it was sort of, I laughed because, I mean, I'm now in my eighth year and that isn't a step that I anticipate making in the next 2 years. Mm. So it is almost kind of, I feel for two particular groups of guys in education. I feel firstly for the male teacher who just, in inverted commas, wants to be a classroom teacher, has no interest in progression up to leadership. And secondly, I feel really sorry for the male teachers in reception classes and sort of year one classes who have no interest in teaching further up the school.
Yeah.
Because they are, let's be fair, they're generally viewed that they must be homosexual,
mm-hmm.
and they are viewed as very, very strange.
Yeah.
It is. I've got a friend whose brother was working in a nursery.
People
for a long
do
time,
wonder.
And it's still, even for me, I'll be honest, even when I met him and he was working in a nursery, it's like, that's not kind of the norm, mate. Like, do you mind if I just ask you about, like, what is it that interests you? And it is just genuine interest that I'm just curious as to what's got him there. But I do, like, you can, we've all done it. You chat to someone and you meet someone at an event or whatever, and you have a discussion and you can recognise, excuse me, how their faces change when you can see them going through that process. And I think, I'm 6'5". If I said that I choose to sort of work in reception, I'm a specialist early years teacher.
Those chairs are a bit hard.
firstly, I need some sort of wheelchair to get around. But secondly, there is that kind of, really? Like, you don't strike me as that. That's what we need to change. There shouldn't be a "you don't strike me as that." And yes, traditionally we associate mothering and caring, and society dictates what we view as traits that fit certain jobs. Chief executives being brash and confident and almost confrontational, they aren't necessarily traits that society dictates with being a woman.
Do you think some of the comments you made earlier about perhaps you get, or you've heard of male colleagues or other male teachers being asked to do things like speak to difficult parents because they're male, maybe being a very confident public speaker, do you think those are reasons why they would perhaps fast track men to leadership positions?
Perhaps, that's a good point. I think there's an element of that. I think
that probably comes from our schooling as well. When we were in school, were the children or young adults as we were growing up, were putting ourselves forward, and whether that be in lessons, whether that be through sport.
There's lots of research into kind of how girls feel, in some elements, girls can feel more comfortable when boys aren't in the room because they are then more likely to take on those leadership positions, which is one of those arguments for single-sex education. But I think it's going to be very interesting. I mean, what do you think the future holds? So say we fast forward. I mean, when I was in school, I had two male teachers, year five and year six. Mm. Is that idea again that the male teachers teach further up school? Now, in my current school, there are two male teachers.
Yeah.
So as much as the statistics are slowly changing, how far will it get to? Say we go 20 years into the future, 50 years into the future, will it ever get to 50-50? Does it need to get to 50?
I think harping back to the job stability aspect of it, I think the fact that we're in a country where there is reasonably high levels of unemployment, and that's been a problem in recent years. We're also in a country with a growing population, who are going to need schooling. I think being a teacher, we like to we like to think, and I'd like to say from myself and you guys, it's probably 100% true that we do this job because we love it, we do it because we feel it's the right job for us, mm-hmm. and we wouldn't want to be doing anything else. But I think if you take a step back, it is a job with, as we say, job stability. It's a job with a good pension scheme. It's a job that, once you've got a university degree, is not ridiculously hard to get a position in. Mm-hmm. There's a reasonably good level of support for you once you're in the job to be able to... I've worked in sales, I've worked in recruitment. If you're not doing a good job, you get fired, you get released.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you're not doing a good job in teaching, I know we hear our horror stories, but generally there is a support team there. Mm-hmm. There's people there to help you and coach you along the way. And I think as we look at a growing population, high levels of unemployment, and increasingly accessible routes into teaching, I think those things are going to... almost inevitably mean that the number of male teachers in the profession increases because it becomes a viable career option.
Will that be disproportionate to the number of female teachers?
I don't think it's going to be a 50-50.
I think two things need to happen. I think firstly, if we are sort of concerned that there are not as many male teachers as female, then I think in time you might start to see some campaigns
mm-hmm.
that push for that.
Yeah.
I think you've seen many TV adverts in newspapers, etc., wanting teachers in general. Mm-hmm. I think you might see a time where that could transform itself into male teachers.
Mm-hmm.
And I think secondly, and just thinking of the schools that I'm in, we have a number of male teachers, but thinking about where those teachers are in terms of year groups, we're a junior school, we have no male teachers in year three.
Yeah.
And in my time there have never been a male teacher in year three.
Mm-hmm.
Always six, always five, always four. And when it hasn't been a school with as many males, it's always five and six. So therefore, is that an issue with sort of internally with mm-hmm. our systems?
And our boys noticing that. Boys in our classrooms, they noticing
that. They notice it. And I think almost like the children think, oh, you're in year six. They have a perception that maybe you're the best teacher
mm-hmm.
or you're the coolest teacher
mm-hmm.
because you can work with the older children. Yeah, but actually, does...
So those are the children they look up to.
Does it stem from SLT? Does it stem from governors? Does it stem from the fact that we... actually are in an environment where we are all working in the sort of higher end of primary.
It's worth mentioning that in my current school, our male teachers are four and five, but in every previous school I've worked in, they've always naturally pushed, or it's been perceived that there's been a natural push for the men to kind of enter the higher year groups.
I think from my sort of own career development, I've had many people say to me, oh, you could be a head teacher, you could be a deputy head teacher, without really knowing me. And but then in hindsight, in my head, I'm thinking, well, I've never taught, but this is my first year outside of year six.
And do people say that to women?
I don't know, but I think in my head, I've got to teach lower down the school to know what happens down there. I've seen it in observations when I've been down a few times, but...
Well, not to mention the fact, again, we come back to what we just said. What if you don't want to be a head teacher? Why do you need to why do we have to? I mean, thinking about it, I'm trying to kind of put the SLT hat on and think, okay, well, is it that it's good in terms of safeguarding to have a male and female teacher higher up the school as children start to go through sort of physical changes? Is it that you want a kind of physical and emotional changes? Is that an element of it? I mean, we still have that debate over kids getting changed for sports.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's still that slight kind of uncomfortableness for certain people about should a guy be in the room when kids are getting changed, or should it be that they should only be... And to be fair, I can honestly say in my sort of 8 years or whatever, I've never been codified told that I shouldn't be in the room when year five or six girls are getting changed. But it has always just been a given that I wouldn't be.
Mm.
And that's something that I think... And kids notice stuff like that.
They
and
do.
That is how social issues are reinforced. Yeah. That if I'm viewed as any kind of suspect or risk at that point, I shouldn't be in the school anyway.
That's crazy, isn't it? Absolutely crazy.
And I think, I mean, I know we're kind of running out of time here, but I think that's something that is a cornerstone for me, is that attitudes towards men have to change before this is going to be addressed.
Yeah. It's an issue of trust.
Yeah, 100%.
I think 100%. Are trusted by our staff that we work alongside.
Yeah, and our leaders,
And our leaders and the parents. And we're all very happy where we work. But I think the trust for a male in a school could be broken in an instant.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's the same for women.
Yeah. And I would say, I'd go further than that, suspicion can be raised quicker.
And definitely. I think it's public perception. if you look at the high profile cases where there have been child protection issues, where there have been issues of paedophilia, the high profile suspects generally are heavily, you know, the male number heavily outweighs the female. I think for that reason, we are unfairly, and perhaps certainly incorrectly being tarred with that or tarnished with that brush. But as you say, it's something that we do have to hope changes in time, because it's something that the children can pick up on.
I definitely think it does.
Yeah.
Homework, the essential podcast for educators in the UK.
Okay, well, we would love to hear your thoughts on any of the issues that we've raised today, and get in touch with us on the Homework Twitter feed. So thanks for listening.
For much more content exclusively for teachers by teachers, visit homeworkmagazine.co.uk. Also, please follow us on social media at homework_magazine and at homework_podcast. Homework Podcast is brought to you by Iguanas Producciones.